I believe next to a person being born again in the local assembly, to me, one of the greatest times we ever gather is when you gather around the Lord's table. And I want to share today, Lord, help us to do that, recalling and remembering our Master. Turn with me, please, to the book of St. Luke, chapter number 22, in the book of St. Luke, chapter 22. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 14 and read through verse 20. Luke 22, verse 14 through verse 20. You recognize this as Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and the Lord Jesus brings His apostles into the upper room. This is where we believe the Lord's Supper was instituted. Luke 22, verse 14, "And when the hour was come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. And He said unto them, With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take, eat, or take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. Notice this next phrase. That's where I'm going to base what I'm going to share today. Jesus said, This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Memory is a marvelous, wonderful faculty God has given us. It's always so sad in my heart to experience with others and their families loss of memory, because memory is so valuable to us. Our memories help us to record facts, even figures sometimes. And our memories help us to record events that have taken place in our lives previous to that point. And our memories help us to record wonderful times we've had in the church, wonderful godly church people we've met over the years and fellowshiped with. Memories help us to recall the good times we've spent with our families and sometimes some of our precious friends. Memory is a marvelous, marvelous faculty God gave us. And when Jesus was preparing to give His life, He brought the apostles to the upper room and He said to them, Do this in remembrance, or to remember me. You know, memory's wonderful if you kind of log things into your memory, but that's not just good enough to just put things in there. Sometimes we need to recall things, don't we? And do like an instant replay, you may say, or to bring things from the very vaults of our memories, some wonderful, wonderful things. Well, here Jesus wanted them to do this and to record this in their memory, and to, from time to time, bring it back and remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is such a time. Many, many, many years later, we turn to the same passage He read to them and what He said to them. As often as we do this, He says, do this in remembrance of me. Remembering our Lord Jesus gives significance to what we call the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. Many things about our Lord we could and we should remember. But as we come to the Lord's table, there are three particular things I want to share with us today very quickly. Three particular things I want us to recall to our memory of what Jesus said. This do in remembrance of me. I want us, first of all, to remember this morning what Jesus has done for us in the past. In the past. In the book of Galatians, chapter 1, and verse 4, it says this. Speaking of Jesus, it says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. If you're saved by the grace of God, what has Jesus done for you in your, maybe your most recent past or a long time ago in your past? What has he done for you? A couple of things. First of all, he sacrificed himself on the cross, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John said. The Lamb of God, the Bible says, who was slain before the foundation of the very world. Jesus sacrificed himself way back in the past so that we could come to have salvation full and free. He made salvation free to all for the asking. That's what he's done for me. I hope he's done that for you in the past. He died for you. He sacrificed himself to provide salvation for every single one of us. Paul writes in Galatians that he died, he sacrificed himself to bring us salvation, to deliver us from this present world. Aren't you glad? Thank God. If you're saved, God has delivered you from this present world. What a horrible world we live in today. Wickedness, debauchery, sin everywhere you look. I'm so glad, thank God, he's delivered me from this present world. How did he do that? How did he do that for you in the past? Well, he bore your sins. He carried your sins. He took your sins and mine upon himself and went to Calvary's cross and shed his blood and died on the cross to provide for us salvation full and free. You see, listen, Jesus died that I don't have to die. Jesus died so that you don't have to die. So what's he done for me in the past? He sacrificed himself just for me, just for you. He provided salvation full and free to deliver me from this present world as he did so for you. And he did that to separate us from this present world. Now listen, don't get the spiritual big head and think just because we're saved that we're better than somebody else. None of us are better than anybody else. All are equal at the foot of the cross. Amen? Amen. But listen, by the fact of Jesus dying for me, providing salvation for me and for you, God has something better for us at the end of this life. I have been delivered here from sin, but I will be delivered one day from this present world totally and fully and eternally. So what's he done for you in the past? If you know him as your personal Lord and Savior, he sacrificed himself for you. I want you to take that personally. He sacrificed himself for you. He provided a free salvation at his own cost for you. It won't cost you one cent to get saved. He provided a way in the past whereby we could be separated from this world. By his precious grace and mercy and the power of God. So when I think about the Lord's table, I think about remembering what Jesus has done for me in the past. But you know, the work he did for me and you in the past didn't stop there, did it? It just kind of began there, didn't it? I want us to think secondly today about what Jesus has done for me and what he is doing for me now in the present. Stop and think. Remember what Jesus is doing for you right now. Listen to Paul as Paul writes in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Paul says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for who? Us. Makes intercession for us. So what's he doing for you in the present? Couple of things. First of all, I think he's representing me. The writer Paul says in Romans 8, Nobody can condemn us. It's Christ who died. It's Christ who saved me. It's Christ's salvation that's in my heart and yours, and there can be no condemnation. He says in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. So then, no one can condemn me. Why can't they condemn us? Now we know Satan is accuser of the brethren, but listen, because of Jesus' death on the cross, because of His resurrection, rising from the dead, because of His defeating death, hell, the grave, and the devil, and ascending back into heaven, the Bible says He's now seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. So what's He doing for you right now? He's representing you at the Father's throne. If there should be an accusation to come, Jesus is our heavenly attorney, you might say. He's the mediator, the Bible says. The man Christ Jesus is now in heaven. He's requesting, interceding for you and I. What's He requesting at God's throne for us? What's He doing for you on your behalf at the throne of God at this very moment? I think He's asking the Father for some things in your respect. I think He's asking the Father, Lord, give that church, give those dear children, give that particular child of God, Lord, give them more of Your grace to live for You, more of Your favor to show to others. Father, forgive them of their sins. You see, He asked God to forgive us of our sins. He's doing that right now. Think about it. Just stop and think about it. He's doing that for you and for me at this present time. Is that all He's done? Is that all He's doing? No. We need to remember what Jesus has done for us in the past. He saved us. We need to remember what Jesus is doing for us in the present. He's representing us, and He's requesting His Father on our behalf. But that's not all. Listen, we need to remember what Jesus has said and what Jesus has promised that He's going to do for us in the future. Listen to what Paul wrote again in the book of Philippians. If you want to turn over there, it's Philippians 3:21. Paul writes and he says how God's going to do something for us in the gracious, gracious future. Philippians 3 and verse 21. I don't know about your Bible. My Bible pages stick together pretty good and hard to turn sometimes. That's not a sign I don't use it, by the way. I do use it. It says in Philippians 3:21, listen, Jesus says this, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Now, there's a brilliant future for every child of God. Oh, yes, Jesus has done some wonderful things in the past for me. He's doing some glorious things for me now in the present, but He's going to do some more glorious things for me and for all of us in the future. Beyond what He's already done, beyond what He's already doing, there's something great He's going to do in the future. What is it? Number one, He says, He's going to free us. He's coming soon. I do believe real soon. I believe the Lord Jesus is coming in the clouds of glory to take His church out of this world and to free us from this present evil generation. But when He comes to free us, the Bible says He's going to fashion our bodies just like His glorious body after His resurrection. On that day, beloved, listen, I'm going to be freed and you're going to be freed from the power of sin, from the presence of sin, and from the penalty of sin forever and forever and forever. That's when you're going to be free indeed. Amen? Amen. That's what He's going to do for us. How's He going to do this? How's Jesus going to accomplish this? The Bible says He has a power, both in heaven and in earth, to subdue all things under his very name. You think if he has any trouble having victory over sin, hell, death, and the devil, he'll have any problem freeing us from this present world and delivering us eternally, giving us that glorified body? He's going to not just free us, but the Bible says he's going to fashion us. Listen, just if you can, just wrap your mind around this. One day my body, one day your body is going to be fashioned just like the body of Jesus. Now on that glorious day when he takes us out of this world, we'll have a body just like his. The one after Jesus' resurrection. How's he going to do that? Now listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how he's going to do that. It doesn't matter how he's going to do that. You just have to believe he's going to do that. He said that he would. He's never failed to keep a promise. And this is part of his promise too to us for a future day. He's going to free us from this world eternally, fashion us with a body just like his. That's what you have to look forward to in the days to come. If Jesus comes in the clouds of glory, or whether we're passing through this life in death, there'll be that glorious day that we shall receive that glorious body. You see, the Lord's Supper, the communion table, reminds me to remember my Lord, what he's done for me in the past. He gloriously saved me. What he's doing for me in the present. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never failed me nor fooled me. He's with me. And when I have problems and when I have needs and when I commit sins, just like everybody else does, he's there at God the Father's throne to represent me. And no one can condemn me at the throne because my heavenly attorney, the Lord Jesus, my mediator's there. He's looking out, so to speak, for my behalf at God the Father's throne. That's what he's doing for you. Think about it. You're not left here defenseless. We won't be left there defenseless either. But oh, what he's going to do. The best indeed is yet to come for we who know the Lord, because on that day, it'll just be too glorious to even try to fathom what that glorified body is going to be like when the Lord Jesus takes us out of this world or resurrects us in the first resurrection and we meet him in the air. He transforms our bodies into a body like his glorious body. I won't need any glasses, folks, then. You won't have any cancers then. No, my professor used to say, there'll be no bald heads or bent knees because of sicknesses we've had down here. Amen? I'm looking forward to that day. The older I get, the more decrepit we get physically, the more we ought to look forward to that. Amen? But listen, in view, oh, he included bifocals too, by the way, Bobby. Yeah. No bifocals, bald heads, bent knees, all that good stuff. Yeah, it'll be gone. But in view of that, in view of what our Lord has done for us in the past, what he's doing for us in the present, what he's going to do for us in the future, what should it say to us? What should it say to us? What kind of lives ought we to so live in this world and be faithful to what Jesus died for? Amen? So that we can represent him on this earth in a faithful fashion as he represents us in heaven on the most faithful fashion of all. So then, if you have sins in your life that need to be confessed, repented of, and turned from, it would be strongly advisable for you to do that before you come to the Lord's table. Because when we come to the Lord's table, we ought to come just as pure as God can make us, with no offense, no unconfessed sin, nothing between brother or brother, sister or brother. Make sure it's right in the church, because when we come, we're remembering what he's done for us, what he's doing for us, and what he's going to do one day for his glorious church, of which you and I are a part. Let's bow together and pray. Lord, I want to say thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. That name above all other names, through which you said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Lord, as we've come to you, come to God through you for salvation, we remember today afresh. And you want that memory painted in our minds to last not just for life, but for eternity, so that we can recall, Lord, from time to time, and it be so fresh in our hearts what you've done for us, and not take it for granted. What you're doing for us, really appreciate it in the present, but look forward, Lord, to what you're going to do for us in the day to come, when you come for us. And I can pray today with John the Apostle, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, come today, be with us in a very special way. As we partake at your invitation, you tell us to examine our hearts, examine our lives, and then come participate. So each of us who know you as our Lord and Savior, who repented of our sins, had you to cleanse our lives, we come, Lord Jesus, today to honor you with our memories and our lives. We pray in your blessed name and thank you for what you've done for us. And as we partake today, may we remember what it cost you to make that salvation free to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.